Chapter 29. I Take a Bribe. During this time in my life, I came to realize that we truly had entered a new era in world economics. Events set in motion while Robert McNamara, the man who had served as one of my models, reigned as Secretary of Defense and President of the World Bank, had escalated beyond my gravest fears. McNamara's Keynesian-inspired approach to economics and his advocacy of aggressive leadership had become pervasive. The EHM concept had expanded to include all manner of executives in a wide variety of businesses. They may not have been recruited or profiled by the NSA, but they were performing similar functions. The only difference now was that the corporate executive EHMs did not necessarily involve themselves with the use of funds from the international banking community. While the old branch, my branch, continued to thrive, the new version took on aspects that were even more sinister. During the 1980s, young men and women rose up through the ranks of middle management, believing that any means justified the end, an enhanced bottom line. Global empire was simply a pathway to increased profits. The new trends were typified by the energy industry, where I worked. The Public Utility Regulatory Policy Act, PURPA, was passed by Congress in 1978, went through a series of legal challenges, and finally became law in 1982. Congress originally envisioned the law as a way to encourage small, independent companies like mine to develop alternative fuels and other innovative approaches to producing electricity. Under this law, the major utility companies were required to purchase energy generated by the smaller companies at fair and reasonable prices. This policy was a result of Carter's desire to reduce U.S. dependence on oil, all oil, not just imported oil. The intent of the law was clearly to encourage both alternative energy sources and the development of independent companies that reflected America's entrepreneurial spirit. However, the reality turned out to be something very different. During the 1980s and into the 1990s, the emphasis switched from entrepreneurship to deregulation. I watched as most of the other small independents were swallowed up by the large engineering and construction firms and by the public utility companies themselves. The latter found legal loopholes that allowed them to create holding companies, which could own both the regulated utility companies and the unregulated independent energy-producing corporations. Many of them launched aggressive programs to drive the independents into bankruptcy and then purchase them. Others simply started from scratch and developed their own equivalent of the independents. The idea of reducing our oil dependence fell by the wayside. Reagan was deeply indebted to the oil companies. Bush had made his own fortune as an oilman. And most of the key players and cabinet members in these two administrations were either part of the oil industry or were part of the engineering and construction companies so closely tied to it. Moreover, in the final analysis, oil and construction were not partisan. Many Democrats had profited from and were beholden to them also.